Thank you.
You're welcome.
Christy, you say that there have been deliveries, plural, in the amount of $12,543.60. When were those deliveries totaling that amount made?
One delivery, excuse me, I believe was January 17th. And then the second delivery was made early February. And there's been two deliveries since then.
And two deliveries since February?
Yes.
Okay. Because this document that I have here is dated as of March 15th. And as of March 15th, you say there is an additional delivery that was made on March 10th. So there's
correct.
More than one delivery made since March?
There was another one made March 28th.
March what?
28th.
And how much were those two deliveries?
They were both for 1,000 gallons. The first one on March 10th was $3,809.49.
I'm sorry, it was how much?
$3,809.49.
Okay.
And the delivery on the 28th was $4,307.89.
So you're looking to increase this for $15,000, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. No, $20,000.
Okay, you're looking to increase it by $20,000. And you have, what's the balance remaining right now in this account?
In the budget code?
Yes.
I didn't look today. Last week, there was approximately $28,000 left.
$28,000 left?
Yes.
And you're looking to increase it by an additional $20,000 now?
The bid does not expire until January 15th, 2023.
And this bid is for more than just this particular building?
Or no, it's only
just for this building.
It's only for Holden.
Okay. So again, I'm trying to run these numbers. So you're looking for $20,000 now. You currently have a balance of $28,000 in the account for a total of $48,000. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. You have $12,543 for deliveries that have been made. And in addition to that, you have another $8,116 that you've received to date.
The $12,000 has already been paid. Those bills have been paid.
They've been paid.
Yes. So what I'm looking to do is increase the cap because I had a cap of $15,000 when this was initially awarded. We've paid out $12,546. I have additional bills now that I have to pay, and the building needed oil. So we're looking for an increase of $20,000 until the expiration of this bid, which is January 14th, 2023.
Excuse me one moment, Councilman, while you, Chris, you said this final bill you have to pay, the one that's due now, is that for the 4,000, was it 4,080 or 4,800?
There's two bills. They total $8,117.38.
Okay, thank you.
With any luck, we won't have to have another delivery made to Holden, but I honestly couldn't say.
And what was the amount again? $8,117.38. Thank you. Thank you, Councilman.
Okay, thank you. So, Christy, I'm still trying to understand these numbers. So the $12,543 has already been paid.
Yes.
Out of the $15,000
cap
that you had before. How do you have $28,000 left in that account?
In budget code 66340.
Okay, that's what I asked earlier. So this budget code is for more than this particular building.
Right, but this bid doesn't expire until January 14th, 2023. So it's...
Okay, so right now, of the $15,000 that you have for this building, you've paid out the $12,543, leaves you with a balance of $2,457.
Right.
And you want to add $8,117 to it.
Right.
Because you have those items to pay.
Correct.
Which brings you just under $11,000. So you're looking for a cushion of about $4,000 between now and hopefully we'll be out of there in the fall. But if we're not out of there in the fall, then you're going to have to come back to us for more money, right?
It's my job to be prepared for the expenses. What I'm looking forward.
Yeah,
that's all.
Not arguing that point. I'm looking down the road. So right now, you'll have a $4,000 cushion between now and, say, the next 3 or 4 weeks if you need more fuel. That's assuming, and you're going to be okay, assuming we're in the Sawtooth building by the time the heating season kicks up again. If it does not happen that we're there, you're going to have to come back to us for additional monies to heat that building, right?
Right.
Okay. Which is why it's so important for us to get over there so we can stop the bleeding with this building. There's outrageous amounts of money going into, and I understand what you said, Chris, that you can't isolate the building. You don't have all those zones, I would assume, in those buildings. You still have pipes that are going to freeze, et cetera, et cetera. So I understand that. No issues with that. But, you know, we're hemorrhaging in this building with the fuel costs for a minimal amount of people in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. And so you're saying, just to sum it up, the cost per month is about $48,000 to $5,000 a month to heat the building.
Well, it's entirely driven on the price of oil, too.
Right. Oh, so, no, I understand.
And right now, we're paying a lot more than
$4.80 a gallon.
We're paying a lot more than we did a year ago. So.
Absolutely. Okay, thank you. Any other questions for members of the council? Any questions for members of the public? Any questions for members of the public? Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Next on the discussion is bid 2022-349. This is found on page 81. It's a $17,495 expense. Purchase of Skyjack 26-foot electric scissor lift. Councilman Lattisor.
Councilman Howe, we skipped.
No, that's going to be next,
number
correct?
14. The grinding services.
Yeah, Chairman, we have 2022-388 found on page 78.
Who wanted that? Who wanted that one?
I did.
I thought you requested 2022-349.
Yeah, I've got 388, 349, 397.
Okay, I have no problem. All right, we can go back. So we will do. I apologize, Councilman. I didn't hear that request.
Fine.
Bid 2022-388. Grinding services with Northeastern Tree Services for $17,500 found on page 78. We all good? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Christy, when did this grinder go out of service?
I don't specifically know the date. It's been out of service for probably a month or two. They've been looking into getting it fixed. We actually had the company that manufactures the grinder come down and take a look at it. We're waiting for an estimate from them to see what it would cost to repair it. But it's a unique piece of machinery.
Was this grinder down in the fall?
No.
So it's something that just happened
recently.
You just said in the past month or two?
Yes.
And when did you look into getting that repaired?
The vendor came down a couple of weeks ago, but obviously we've been once again picking up yard waste. We've started again, so our piles have grown quite substantially, and we need to alleviate the problem. And this is right now our solution, since we don't have a grinder that we can use.
How much is a new grinder?
Probably at least $1 million.
$1 million for a new grinder?
Yes.
Whoa. Now, when this company in Northeastern Tree Service, when they come in and they do the grind, they grind up all this stuff. What happens to the grindings? Is that like the chips that the residents can go and pick up?
Yes, it gets, so they'll put it into windrows and then we, you know, wait for it to compost, we turn it over. And so it's the same process as what we would do if we were running our own grinder. We just don't have the grinder to do the process.
Sure. And this monies that, or the services that Northeastern Tree Service is going to provide is, I'm assuming that they're delivering a machine there. They're going to do all the grindings and that's it. Do we have to provide staff to do the actual grindings? This is everything.
That's everything. It's everything. Okay. It's an operator. We may have to load it with our loader, which is out at the compost facility anyway, sure. But they are bringing their machine to us. They're not charging us for, you know, delivery mm-hmm. or anything like that. It's a week's grinding. So 40 hours. And with any luck, our piles will be a third of, two thirds of the size they are now.
And which is why you're doing this through a 56.6?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I'm good on that. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Councilman. Committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Thank you. Councilman Lattiser, bid 2022-349, purchase Skyjack 26-foot electric scissor lift, pardon me, found on page 81.
Thank you. Christy, so what is this piece of equipment, what is it used for?
So it's a scissor lift. So basically, if we needed to change the light bulbs in this room, we can bring it in and get up, well, I don't know about this room, but
yeah, maybe not.
But we use it. We're sharing resources essentially as well too, because it would be utilized by the water department if they need to do some sort of inspection on a tower. We use it at the ice rink, you know, for our lights and things, you know, up by the ceiling that, or the heaters, things we can't reach with regular ladders. You can be used by building maintenance. I know a lot of times the fire department, they need lights changed in their apparatus bays. A ladder doesn't do it. So it can be trailered and brought wherever.
Sure. I'm asking you because I'm familiar with it, with what it is. But there's a lot of people, taxpayers, who have no clue what a scissor lift is or what a Skyjack electric lift is. So I think it would be helpful for the folks that are looking at, you know, our agendas and the bid package, et cetera, for us to give a little bit more information on what some of these things are and why you need it and what you use it for, et cetera. Do we have one of these now?
We did, but it has been out of service for probably a year and a half. It's very old. It was at the ice rink and I want to say probably 15 years ago, at least, the figure skaters had purchased it for the ice rink, but it is dead, sure. Basically.
I mean, it's an invaluable piece of equipment. You know, I can see where it's a major advantage for DPW, the fire department, you know, any other things that you use for, because it's an extremely versatile piece of equipment and it's very maneuverable. I would just like to ask, you know, in the future, perhaps maybe a little bit more of an explanation as to what this piece of equipment is, what you need it for, why you need it, what you do with it. I think it'd be very helpful to the taxpayers that, you know, are kind of watching out for these things. That's it, Chair. That's all I have on that one.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. Bid 2022-391, repairs to fire utility 2. I requested this in the, it's found on page 84. I can state that there was a request from the department to withdraw this item. And Chrissy, did you just want to state on record the reason?
I heard there was some question last week as to whether or not that this vehicle was a total loss. They tore it down at Tasca. They weren't sure. The appraiser went and looked at it, and got back to Tasca today, and it has been deemed a total loss. So we're not obviously going to fix it.
Okay. Thank you. Solicitor, do we...
Chairman?
I'm sorry, one moment, Councilman. Solicitor, do we continue with discussion if it's going to be withdrawn, or do we need a motion?
We would be assigning a PCR. You can conclude the discussion as well.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. So Christy, withdrawing this has saved a lot of questions that I had on this item, but a couple of points I want to make is when you look at these repairs, unlike one we recently had, this shows the labor time that is required, you know, every step of the way on this repair. And in addition to that, it also itemizes it on a backup document where it calls for the body labor 28.4, paint labor 10.5, and 10.5 hours, and it's got the hourly rates. That's important for us when we're making financial decisions with taxpayer dollars. This is the way it should be. And it also begs another question now, where on a previous bid, we had $4,400 worth of labor without a clue on how we got there. This one is telling us body labor, paint labor, $50 an hour. Pretty easy to understand, and certainly just in a position that we can make an informed decision on it. So thank you for this. This is the way they should be. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions for members of the council? Members of the public, any questions for members of the public? Thank you. The final item that was requested, wait a minute.
Mr. Chairman.
I apologize. You're right. Yep. If I may have a motion, this is now former bid 2022-391 is now PCR 40-22. And may I have a motion to withdraw per request of the department?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Solicitor, let's go. Thank you. The final item that was requested for discussion is bid 2022-397, labor for engine repair RS Romeo Sierra 70, Peterbilt of Rhode Island, and that is found on page 96. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Christy, this says the sanitation department has a 2016 Peterbilt vehicle RS-70, which requires a new engine. Did we purchase this vehicle new?
Yes.
I didn't hear what you said.
Yes.
We did. Okay. Is there any warranties on this vehicle?
Usually it's only 5 years. And it's
5 years?
Yeah.
When did we purchase it?
2015.
I'm sorry?
2015.
2015 we purchased it. Okay. And how many miles on this vehicle?
That I don't know.
We don't know. I think it's important to know because we're looking to put in a new engine. I think it's important that we know how many miles are on a truck that has a blown engine. Is this for a new engine?
Yes.
Or is this a rebuild?
This is for a new engine. They are replacing the engine.
A new long block engine?
Yes.
And you are looking for $12,950?
Correct.
So why does the invoice that we have, which is stamped by our purchasing department, calling for $45,785?
That amount includes the parts, the cores. It includes the shop supplies. The only thing that we're asking for is the labor to put the engine in.
So who's paying for the rest of it?
We are. We have another bid for parts that we will purchase.
Okay, that's going to come out of the parts.
Correct.
Okay. And It's showing a shop charge of $500. What are we getting for $500 in shop charges?
That's a typical industry charge. You'll see it on a lot of invoices for repairs. It's usually like, you know, if they have to have brake cleaner and they have to have, they put oil in and they have, you know, any ancillary mm-hmm. items that they use that go along with the replacing the engine.
Yep. I know what it is in the private sector. Anyhow, you know, it's whatever cleaning fluids they need, you know, they need some towels, et cetera, et cetera. This is just for labor to install this engine.
Correct.
Just for labor.
It's $185 an hour.
Yep. $185 an hour, which that's not too shabby. But $500 in shop charges, that just seems to be, that's a lot of fluid. It's a lot of cleaner, and it's a lot of rags.
Councilman,
clean up. Yes.
If I may, I'm so sorry. I'm looking at the bid, and it's for the labor, and you're speaking of an item that's not billed that is on the bid.
I understand that. I absolutely. What she's looking for is $12,950 for labor.
Yes.
What they are paying is $45,785, and they're paying the difference between the $45,7 and the $12,950 out of their OEM pots. So this entire invoice becomes a topic of discussion, and that's why I'm asking about that $500 and what does it include.
So I respectfully disagree, and will be happy to and give you my reasoning. The bid that we are discussing is to pay the labor. That is $12,950. That is the topic of the bid, is for labor. The purchasing director said that the parts is a separate bid, which
right.
I would assume, and I won't assume. We're talking about paying for the labor of the engine repair, and that's $12,950. I welcome the solicitor to comment, or I want to respectfully explain why I think it should just focus on just the labor, because it seems like we're going to be doing two different bids for this one bill.
No, the OEM parts are already part of another bid that we've already done, right? And then the other question I have is, they got sales tax on here, $2,115 for sales tax. We're tax exempt. We don't pay tax. So is that going to be deducted off the $45,785?
Yes.
Okay. I'm good. That's easy. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any other discussion from members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? Members of the public? That concludes the consent package for today's meeting. If I may have a motion on the full consent calendar, I apologize.
Motion to.
I have a motion of favorable action.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The time is 6:28. That concludes the Warwick Finance Committee.
Good evening, everyone. The next committee that will meet is the Ordinance Committee, and that can take place at this time when the chair calls it to order. Thank you.
Acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on March 7, 2022.
Move to accept.
I can't second. I was not present. Second the minutes. Jeremy has moved to accept the minutes from March 7th, 2022. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
And abstain? And next we have PCO 5-22, an ordinance requiring collective bargaining agreement contracts submitted to the City Council for ratification to be presented with complete drafts in clean and redlined formats. This will be second passage. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So we discussed this at length at the previous meeting, but just to circle back on it, essentially what this is going to do is it's going to give us a clean copy of the current contract along with the proposed changes, additions, deletions, and a clear and delineated fashion, which is going to make things a lot easier for us to go through, review, as well as the taxpayers. And having said that, I would respectfully request favorable action. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Any questions or comments from members of the council? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, we can entertain a motion.
Move favorable action.
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That appears to conclude ordinance at 6:33 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee that is going to meet is the Intergovernmental Committee, and that is also able to take place at this time.
So Intergovernmental will convene at 6:34 p.m. First, we have acceptance of the minutes for the March 21st, 2022 meeting.
I have a question, though. Can I move that since I wasn't here for that meeting?
Council Perez?
I make the motion for to approve the minutes.
Second. Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then Councilman Foley abstains. PCR 158-21, resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter to establish new elected term lengths and term limits for mayoral and council elective terms beginning January 2025. This is Councilman McElroy. Obviously, he's not in attendance. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Councilman McElroy, unfortunately, could not be here this evening, but he did ask if we would consider this evening.
All right. First is an initial disclaimer. If there are any amendments, my preference, at least, is going to be to handle all those on the full floor as opposed to handling them in committee, especially because of the rather small committee we have today. And less a disclaimer, more an opinion. Personally, my own desire would be 4-year terms for the City Council, just to put us in conformity with the school committee and with hopefully what the mayor will be. But other than that, do any members of the committee have any questions or comments?
I just want to say the same thing you just said, that I would look at a 4-year term when we get to the floor and ask for amendments.
Any questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So I'll hold my comments until it does come to the floor. But at this time, based upon your comments, Chair, I would absolutely support that amendment of 4-year terms. For the members of the council as well, with across the term limit. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I suppose first I'll state, perhaps for reasons that will become more clear as I continue, that I'm not so sure that I do support 4-year terms. I wouldn't necessarily rule them out, but I do think that looking at the principles of democracy here in this, that is small d democracy, in this Republican form of government, small r Republican form of government, that when we take a look at the congressional level, federal level, members of Congress are elected every 2 years. That's a legislative body. At the General Assembly, at the state level, representatives and senators are elected for 2 year terms. And I think that the 2 year terms help us be closer to the voters and more accountable to them. I can certainly understand the rationale for 4 year terms. And I will say that 2 years goes by very quickly, but I'm not so certain that I could support the 4 year terms. However, that's something where I will keep an open mind as to the logic of my presented by my colleagues. And so on that point, I am persuadable. On the term limits themselves, I've never been in favor of legislative term limits. And there are two main reasons why. First, we have to look first at the principles of democracies and Republican forms of government. These really go back all the way to ancient Greece, not to give a whole history lesson there. But really a takeaway here is that elections are a decision of the people. Term limits are taking away power from the people to decide who their representative should be. We effectively have term limits now every 2 years. The people get to decide one way or the other every 2 years who represents them. Now, going back to the Roman Republic, there have been distinctions between limits on the executive branch and limits on the legislative branch, and for good reasons. In modern times, the executive branch has consolidated power into one person, effectively. And perhaps that's a bit of an oversimplification, but at the federal level, it's the president. State level, the governor. City level, the mayor. The legislature, on the other hand, is divided, and we are not even allowed to talk with each other to the extent that we might create a quorum or a rolling quorum. So, because I spoke with one of the members on the committee on this, I am prevented outside of this meeting from even discussing my concerns with another member of the committee, the remaining two members of the committee, that is. Let's see. And next, another distinction is that the legislative branch relies on its more experienced members to give guidance to the newer members, as there is most definitely a learning curve for new members, and the institutional knowledge of the more experienced members is a tremendous asset for all members to perform our jobs here on the City Council. And we cannot rely too heavily on the executive branch when a key part of our job is to be a check on the executive branch. Think about this more practically. Where would we be, especially the four of us, now three, who were elected as freshmen in that election of 2016, where would the four of us have been without the ability to learn from our more experienced colleagues? Then at that time, Donna Travis, Steve Marola, Joe Solomon, Joe Colucci, and Ed Lattiser. Four out of five of those members wouldn't have been there for us if we had the term limits as proposed, and we'd have been far worse off for it. Here, we're piling Pelia on Osa for what? I think that we all know that the City Council has less actual power than the school committee, yet this resolution doesn't even propose term limits for the school committee. There are incredible differences between the two branches of government, legislative and executive. Here in Warwick, the branches are anything but balanced or co-equal. And the reason I bring this up is because the concern about power is central to the arguments for term limits. If there are other arguments for term limits, then I would be happy to hear those arguments. But let's take a look at this as a matter of power and the desire to limit the consolidation of power. So my next, along those lines, the legislature has a very limited role in city government, especially in Warwick. And we, on the legislature, basically have three main powers. The first, and probably the most important, is as a check on the executive. For example, the legislative branch sets the tax rate. But we do not have much meaningful control over the budget beyond that. The executive has the ability to transfer between line items and otherwise achieve its objectives through initiating only those bids that it desires to initiate and not initiating those it chooses not to. It can use Section 56.6 and the like to avoid the need to seek pre-approval from the city council where the circumstances are such that that would be applicable. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. It's simply pointing out that the city council has limited powers in that regard as well. For that matter, we've often seen past administrations, the executive can refuse to pay bills that it does not desire to pay. And then as to those vendors, well, now it's their problem. It's not a power that the city council can, the city council has no power to force the executive branch to write a check. That just becomes the problem of the vendor who's seeking to get paid. The city council can ratify contracts by an up or down vote, but it does not have the ability to change any of those contracts by line item, and it does not have the ability to negotiate contracts. The city council can pass resolutions and ordinances, but the city council does not have any power to enforce those. I think that we've all seen many, many instances where various ordinances are not followed or enforced. And for that matter, even things as basic as traffic enforcement, the city council has incredibly limited power. We can't direct police to necessarily enforce traffic on one street or another at one time or another. We do have the night program, which allots a certain amount of funding for certain enforcement, but that again is a function of the executive, as well it should be. The city council has the power to hire and fire only two employees, while the mayor has the power to hire and fire, I'm not even certain of the exact count, but I think it's somewhere around 100. The city council has zero formal powers to block the mayor's selection of whom the city hires or fires, or how that person's compensation is set. And we saw an example of that in 2017.
Councilman Ricks, you have 2 minutes left.
Thank you. I'll try to hurry. I would state that the committee also has the power to expand on the 10-minute limit to allow me to finish my comments. However, if it does not, I suppose that's another demonstration of how little power these city council members actually have. Second, the city council has investigatory powers, but not actual power to sanction or punish based on those investigations. And third, the city council has soft powers for advocating for constituents. This is a very important part of the job, but let's not confuse that with having actual formal powers of government. Most of the time, we can ask the executive branch nicely and things tend to get done, but we have no ability to order city employees to do anything beyond the powers that all members of the public have under the city charter, ordinances, and Rhode Island state law. I had to advocate for years to get a simple fence replaced. We had, and I sponsored a city council resolution, which was passed unanimously to make some improvements to a local park in Ward 2, but it has been ignored by multiple administrations for years. Resolutions for various items including, well, I won't get into the details there, but various resolutions are non-binding by their nature. And even if we request to meet with a department head, various administrations can refuse to set up those meetings. And that has happened to me with previous administrations. I remember Councilman Lattiser speaking of the need to fulfill constituent requests. In a previous administration, Councilman Lattiser once felt the need to docket a resolution to get a pothole filled. That's something that really shouldn't be necessary, but it goes to demonstrate the point that the city council does not even have a formal power to ask a city employee to get a pothole filled, that that employee must actually obey, nor does the council as a whole have the power to pass a binding resolution to get a pothole filled. That's, again, entirely an executive function.
Councilman Ricks, your time is up.
Very well.
Any other members of the council wish to speak on this bill? Do any members of the public wish to speak on this?
Thank you. My name is Jane Austin, 26 Narragansett Bay Avenue, Warwick, Rhode Island. I would like to speak on two aspects of this. I do believe that it is a good idea to increase the term for the mayor, the executive branch, for the reasons that have been cited here before, the executive branch and getting into that position makes sense. And the issue of term limits in general, I'm not a fan of term limits. I think you do lose institutional memory. In legislatures across the country where they have done this kind of thing, the shift has been, it's shifted powers away actually from the legislators to their staffs and to those who are able to kind of stay longer term. It's not necessarily going to happen the same way here because you don't have a big staff, but it's an open question as to where the power is going to shift as a result of that. I think that the competitive elections with, you know, more and clearer information on the process for running, better information on the timing is what would get you kind of a stronger legislature. In terms of the office of the mayor, I believe that even if you are considering two term limits, two terms is too short. And it's also shorter than the 10 years that this bill has in place if you do five terms for council members. So you're rebalancing in a way, potentially, the power between the mayor and the council here in a way that I don't think necessarily serves the city. I would just finally point out that I think the city has been well served by some of its mayors with long tenure and members of long tenure. I can, 20 years ago, I looked over and Donna Travis was in that seat and she played a big role. Councilman Joseph Gallucci was also an important force and a member with institutional memory, both in terms of school committee issues and over 20 years later when it came to the Sewer Review Commission. So I think the loss of institutional memory and just the ability of someone who doesn't necessarily have ambitions for higher office, but wants to be a servant of this of the city, is something that you should sacrifice with, that you should not sacrifice. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Austin. Does anyone else from the public wish to speak on this? Seeing none, I would move. So can I move to send this to the floor without putting a positive or negative recommendation?
Yes, so you can send it to the floor with no recommendation, if that's a motion you'd like to make.
Yes, it is. So I'd like to move this to go to the floor with no recommendation. So moved. Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That'll conclude intergovernmental at 6:52 p.m.
The next committee will be the Appointments Committee. And that is in order to start now.
Good evening. The time is now 6:53, and the Appointments Committee comes to order. First up is the acceptance of the minutes from March 7th. Do I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
And I'll second that. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Okay. We have one appointment here before us this evening. It's to the Library Board of Trustees, Mary Johnson. I believe Mary is present. In your packet, you will find Mary's appointment or Ms. Johnson's appointment paperwork, as well as a biography. And she comes highly recommended from the library for her dedication and commitment to that organization thus far. And so I will give you an opportunity in a moment to make a brief statement. I'll just see if my colleagues on the committee have anything to add.
Thank you. And if I am reading the street address correctly, I believe that Ms. Johnson is from Ward 1?
Yes.
Yeah, so I would certainly first defer to Councilman Foley.
I recommend Ms. Johnson to the board. She came highly recommended, and she seems enthusiastic about serving, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you. And I would just add that based on that recommendation, a quick review of your resume, all indications are that you are highly qualified, and I look forward to voting in favor of your appointment. I would also just briefly add that the City Council only has authority to appoint members of the public to two committees, the Library Board of Trustees and the Land Trust. And so I do want to make sure to underscore that this is an important appointment for the City Council, especially as the Library Board of Trustees is handling, ultimately responsible for one of, I think, the most important services in our city that are used by so many of our residents of all ages. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Anything to add?
Oh, he said it best, especially based on her resume.
Absolutely. Okay. Any members of the committee? Anything to add? Council, sir? Councilman Lattice, sir?
Thank you, Chairman. I would just like to commend you, Ms. Johnson, first of all, on your willingness to serve. It's not always easy to have people who are willing to step up and volunteer their time and energies to serve on these various boards and commissions. So it's always refreshing for us to see people doing so. I also must comment on your resume. You have a very impressive and extensive resume. And I think this is a real good fit for you, for the library, and for the city. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Council President McAllister.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would also like to say thank you very much. This is a very important board. It's a busy board, and it does a lot. So I just want to thank you. Also mention that it's Library Week, so perfect timing for to have this appointment here. And I'm going to be docketing something this evening regarding the library and their funding at the state level. So we're going to keep the Library Week theme going this evening. So thank you very much for your willingness to serve our community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ms. Johnson, if you'd like to say anything, you're welcome.
Sure. Just thank you for the warm welcome.
I think it's on my resume. I served previously on the library board, took a little bit of a break because we weren't sure we were going to stay in Warwick, but we've decided to stay in Warwick, so happy to be reappointed. I think library services are critical, both at the main branch and in the community branches, especially during the pandemic. Even the opportunity just to have access to Wi-Fi was helpful to a lot of people. As we all tried to have our keep our jobs going and meet our obligations, often from our houses or from places that weren't our usual customary places of work. And certainly during my original stint with the board, have seen a lot of services at the library very tuned in to the community, and am really honored to have that opportunity to continue to serve on the library board. So thank you all.
Thank you so much, Ms. Johnson. Do any other members of the public wish to provide comment? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Welcome to the library board. Again.
Thank you.
Time is now 6:59 and the appointments committee is adjourned.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We do have one more committee that needs to take place. However, I am going to ask if we could pause committees. We do have a special guest that are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and it is a school night. So we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we'll go right back into the committees, unless there's objection from my colleagues. So we're just going to start the council meeting and 2 minutes, just let the clerk and the solicitors get settled, and we will start the council meeting, and we're going to have our guests lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then we will return to committees. Thank you.